Welcome to NC Asian American Ministries podcast. My name is Sammy Chu, and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today, we have Ralph Garay as a guest. Ralph is the Asian American Church Planting Consultant at the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. Hello, Ralph.
Hi, Sammy. Thank you so much for inviting me here to be with you.
Thanks so much for coming, and thanks so much for spending time for this podcast. We're so honored and privileged to have you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, I have a lot of questions for you, but today I want to focus on your personal story. So we really want to, I know you as a person, as a friend, as a coworker, but I really want to get to know you. But not just me, I really want people out there would get to know you in person. So I want to start with a very basic question, which is, can you tell us about your family?
Yes. Originally, I was born in the Philippines when I was a baby. I grew up there, and I stopped growing up in the Philippines. And so my parents raised us up in a church. It's a born-again Christian church. And so our parents really took the time, and they sacrificed in teaching us the Word of God and modeling to us prayer and love for God and love for one another. And I have four siblings. They are all still in the Philippines, and I'm the only one here in the U.S.
Wow, that's good. Well, how did you become a follower of Christ? How did you become a Christian?
I believe the work of God that I recognized started when I was 10 years old. My best friend died because of serious illness. And, you know, at that age, I think he was only 12 years old. And I look at him, he was my best friend, I played with him. Then I look at his dead body. And, you know, lifeless. And it made me ask the question, wow, you know, where will we go when we die? Where will I go when I die? You know, and that just haunted me. That question just haunted me. And then I think after a year, we moved to a city like 45 minutes from where I was born, and my mom brought me and my siblings to a church where there was an American evangelist who visited that city for 2 weeks, but he shared the story of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, for 5 nights. And every night my mom would, you know, brought us to that event. And every night I heard this story. And for the first time in my life, I heard the story that God made us and created us to spend eternity with Him. But something happened along the way. I sinned against God. We all sinned against God, and we all got separated from God. So I got separated from God because of my sin. And as a result of that, you know, I got disconnected from God. So I started doing my own thing. You know, I just devised whatever I can plan for my future. And so that's exactly what happened to me as a result of that separation from God. But because of God's great love to us, the evangelist, you know, shared with us, because of God's great love, He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, to die for my sins, so I can be cleansed, I can be forgiven, and I can be reconciled back to God. Then he also shared that the good news now is that the only thing we need to do is to put our faith and trust that Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. He resurrected from the grave to give us free gift of forgiveness and eternal life, so we can be reconciled back to God and spend eternity with Him. And so my journey started there. That night, I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. I repented of my sins. I believe in Him, and I surrendered my life to follow Him. So that's where I believe my journey with Him started.
So were you 10 years old back then?
I was 10 years old.
10 years old?
Yeah, I was 10 years old.
That's great.
Very clear to me, you know, that picture of God made us, created us, God separated, God reconciled us back to Him by sending His only Son, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And we have to put our faith in Him, believe Him that He already saved us mm-hmm. from our sins.
So did you start to go to church afterwards? Or how?
So afterwards, I you know, continue going to that church, and the pastor, the people in the church just loved on us as a family, and they continue to teach us the Word of God, continue to make contact with us, and they invited us to different events in the church, and which was used by God to really deepen our relationship mm-hmm. and our trust, and also our friendship was developed there. And then we become comfortable with one another, and that we enjoy each other's, you know, presence. And so from our family, we discover friendship with more families in that city where we move in. Mm-hmm. And this church really helped us in understanding the value of God's Word, and they taught us prayer, mm-hmm. Not as a religious activity, but prayer as a relationship with mm-hmm. God, okay. And that, you know, that's something that we can do anytime, anywhere, for any reason, mm-hmm. that, you know, we can talk to God. So this church really helped us grow in understanding of who God is mm-hmm. and the role of His Word in knowing His will, His plan, and His purposes, and how we can obey Him now that we are followers of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. What is your life verse from Scripture?
And, you know, that's a good question. Thank you so much. that just remind me that there are many verses that God used in my life, but mm-hmm. I always point back to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, mm-hmm. because that verse reminds me that Jesus Christ had done everything already. He was mm-hmm. crucified. He died for my sins. He resurrected from the grave. And now that I'm into a relationship with Him, mm-hmm. I no longer have to try, you know, to please God on my own strength, on my own way, on my own effort, because as far as God the Father is concerned, when He looks at me, He is pleased with me. I'm His, you know, child now because of what Christ has done. And not only what Christ has done, but because Christ is in me. Mm. And the life of service and the life of following God and the life of serving others, loving, you know, other people is a manifestation of the Christ who is in me. And, you know, that truth from Galatians 2:20 just continue to carry me through even up to now. The reality that I discovered, it's not just hard, you know, to be a Christian, but it's impossible to be a Christian on our own, because right. Christian life is the life of Christ. Mm-hmm. And for me to live the Christian life is I have to depend and trust in Christ, because that's His life. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, to continue to just surrender to Him and let Him live His life through me. So that's why it's Galatians 2:20.
Mm-hmm. Great. Who is the most influential person in your life?
Wow, very good question. I would say both of my parents, I will start from there, mm-hmm. because they modeled to me fear of God. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Yeah. And that has really grown in me. And, you know, I always consider that aspect of my life in my decision makings as I look at the future, in my relationships. You know, I always ask the question, is this pleasing to God? Mm-hmm. And my parents modeled that to me. And also prayer, mm-hmm. they showed me how dependent we are to God. I can still, you know, vividly remember every morning they would spend time in prayer together. And also, they emphasized to us the importance of God's Word. Mm. They read the Word of God together. And in fact, our parents would wake us up, you know, early morning before we go to school. And then we're still, you know, kind of groggy and, you know, not fully awake, but they would start reading the Word of God. And those words that we have heard, they've read, they've shared with us, you know, still impacted me and continues to guide me. And so I would say my parents were really used by God, you know, to help me shape to who I am. There are times that, you know, the way I relate with other people and the way I relate with God, I would remember my dad and my mom, you know, at the back of my mind. I see a picture of, you know, in my mind of what they've done to others or to me or to my siblings or, you know, in my sight that, you know, they may not be aware, but, you know, they impacted my life.
What are their names?
My dad's name is Raphael, and my mom's name is Ida.
I'm sure your parents must be very proud of you.
Thank you.
I know you're a little older than me. By the way, can I ask your age?
Oh, yes, yeah. I'm still very young, 53 years old.
Okay, great.
And how old are you, by the way?
Well, I am 26. I'm just kidding. I'm 41.
Oh, wow.
Now, you know, the life has ups and downs, and there are exciting moments, and there are some challenging moments, like downtimes in our life. Can you share a little bit about that? What was the most exciting event in your life?
I would say the most exciting, there are many exciting events in my life, and but I would probably highlight...
By the way, every day is your birthday, right?
Oh yeah, every day is my birthday, so that's why I'm still very young. But there are so many exciting events in my life. I would remember that day when I heard the gospel, I always go back to that, because right now I am who I am, I do what I do, because that day... I've heard the gospel. It's so clear. God opened my eyes and my heart to who He is and the reason why He made me and created me and, you know, what's His intent, you know, for my life. I think that's the most exciting part of my life. And then here comes, you know, the discovery of what He wants me to do for the rest of my life. So that's another aspect. And then I met my wife, I got married, and then, you know, our first child, the second child, when they were born, and then just having them, raising them up, and now that, you know, they're in college and they still come back and we still spend time together. And then also the opportunity for me to serve here in North Carolina Baptist, serving and learning from church planters and my colleagues here in North Carolina Baptist family. Life is exciting. This is a gift. This is something I never desire, never plan, you know, never even dream of. But, you know, God just unfolded this along the way.
Right. Ralph, whenever I see you, I see smile all the time. So I really do think that you always have a great time. But, you know, if you can share anything like in your life that you can call downtime, can you share?
Oh, yes. I have so many downtimes, but probably I would share the most difficult part of my life, I think, when I was in college. In my college days, there were like times of confusion and depression, and the sense of purpose of my life was challenged, and I got disconnected from God in a sense that, you know, I kind of shifted my life into declaring independence from God, and I want to do life on my own. And so there was that, you know, chapter in my life, and that was the darkest and the most difficult part of my life. But also one thing in the midst of that, as I look back now, I realize that that's where really I've experienced, you know, the depthness and the bigness of God's grace in my life.
When did you sense the calling from God to become a full-time pastor, minister, church planting consultant?
There were series of events, I would go back, you know, the story really started when the day I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. From that time, I said, Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, that's what I want. And although at the back of my mind, there's also my natural being a human being, you know, desiring, you know, to be rich, to be popular, you know, to see the world like that. But the sense of calling from God from there when I surrendered my life was really stronger. And then hearing messages through worship services that I've attended to, you know, just was used by God to remind me of His calling, that He has a unique call for me, you know, to follow Him, to serve His church, to share the gospel to the lost. And then so I shifted, God shifted the direction of my life when I was in college, and that's when things gets clearer to me what He wants me to do for the rest of my life, and that is in the area of being serving the church, equipping the church, and also serving church planters. So I pastored for 20 years, almost 20, more or less 20 years, Philippines and U.S. side, and then God, 11 years ago, I received an invitation from North Carolina Baptist to work with them as Asian church planting consultant. And that time, I just sensed that that's the next chapter of my life. And so I'm here right now with North Carolina Baptist, helping and serving and working with church planters as part of, you know, God's unfolding story that He's writing for His glory through my life.
You mentioned that you grew up in Philippines and you stopped growing in the Philippines. So at some point of your time, you moved to United States.
Yes, yeah.
What made you come to the United States?
Oh, wow, this is an amazing story, story. I would go back in 1992. I was leading the men's conference, Baptist men's conference in Mindanao in southern part of the Philippines. And so I was the leader. We were looking for a church, a speaker, you know, for our conference. And so I have a friend recommended an American pastor, his friend also, that was visiting the Philippines at the time. And so he recommended him to be our speaker. So make the long story short, he became our speaker. And this American preacher came from San Diego, who was an interim pastor of a Filipino church. And then so while we were there in the conference, he asked me one time, Ralph, are you interested to pastor a church in America? And right there and then I said, no. And I said, no, it's because I don't know anybody in America and I'm enjoying my ministry in the Philippines and there's no reason, you know, for me to consider, like, you know, leaving my church. Right. I thought that's a church in the Philippines where I will retire, right?
Right.
So then what happened was he asked me my resume and then he brought that resume to this church, Filipino church in San Diego. But I never heard from them. They never heard from me. I'm not interested anyway. But 4 months after that, I encountered with this American pastor. I have an uncle in L.A. who got into a vehicular accident, and he passed away. And all of us in the Philippine side who got visas were able to travel and attended the burial of my uncle. And then after the burial, after the funeral, I remember the American pastor where I gave my resume and said, I called him and I mentioned to him that I'm in L.A. And then he said, oh, why don't you come to San Diego and preach in the church where I gave your resume? I said, okay, so it's my last Sunday. Yes, I still have time. So make the long story short, I went to San Diego. I preached in the church where he gave my resume. Didn't even know that I was the person who whom, you know, they have received a resume from. But, you know, after I preached, during, you know, the time with them and preaching, I just sensed there's an awesome affirmation of the presence of God that this is a very important event. This is a church, you know, very, very important. But, you know, I was just taking it for granted. I'm not interested anyway. So then after the service, church secretary called me and said, oh, we didn't realize you're the Pastor Garay that gave your resume to us. We could have talked, you know, after the meeting. I said, oh, that's okay. And then, but anyway, they invited me to be back again the following day, Monday. They flew me from LA to San Diego. And then, so I went there, met with their leadership. I told them, pray for me, I'll pray for you. But it's kind of just a cliche at the time. And then because I'm not really interested. So, and then they brought me back to the airport that night after a dinner meeting. And then I was almost late. And then I think the stewardess or the receptionist or the person on the gate said, are you Mr. Garay? I said, oh, yes. And then, so your plane is waiting for you. I said, oh, thank you. So I went to the plane. I discovered I was the only passenger of that plane.
Really?
Flying from San Diego to LA. And that's a commuter plane. That's not a big plane. That's a small plane. But I was the only passenger. Wow. Anyway, so then that plane took off. When that plane took off, I looked down, I saw lights of San Diego, and as if God spoke to me and said, this is how important this trip is. You better, you know, be serious in looking into this. And so I repented, I confessed my sins, and then I asked the Lord, Lord, just lead me whatever your will is. So that's where I believe, you know, God spoke to me, that He called me in America. He called me in San Diego. Because when I came home, back to the Philippines, this church, they filed a petition for my immigration status, me and my wife. So they petitioned us as immigrants. So we came here in San Diego. We came in San Diego, 1995, to pastor this church. So, sorry, that's a long story, you know, with a very good story. Question, but because that's the, you know, big picture, why we came here in America. So, it's a sense of call from God, not for, you know, anything else from us or from anybody else.
Wow, that's amazing. So you already had your own airplane.
Oh, yes, yeah, I experienced that.
Wow, that is a wonderful story. Well, Brother Ralph, thanks so much for sharing your story. In the next episode, we'll love to hear more about your ministry and the church.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sam.
Well, the listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. And I will see you next week.